Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is the
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
first regular Monday evening Hoops HD report of the season, actually. We've had a lot of preseason podcasts. We had a special last week, but I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined this evening by John Stalica, Rocco Milli below me from bracketeer.org, David Griggs. And this is a show where we're going to be going over everything that's been going on in the major conferences. And we've got a lot to get to, but I think unfortunately today I'm going to start on a bit of a somber note with the awful, awful news that we heard coming up. First of all, both out of Idaho, where four students lost their lives yesterday, and then on top of that, Virginia, where I believe it was three more students lost their lives at a horrible shooting on a bus by another student. This is just absolutely horrible, and our hearts go out to the schools, the kids, families, everybody there, and we really wish them all the best, and try to get through these very, very hard times. But unfortunately, I guess we just gotta say that we're gonna move on with the show anyhow. This is what we got to do here, and we are going to go into the what's been going on in college basketball for the past week since the start of the season, really. But before we even get to games, actually, I'm going to start with a little bit of viewer mail. Actually, this is real viewer mail. This is not some joke that Griggs threw at me. One of our listeners, Glenn, after watching our in-season tournament show last week, actually sent a message. And Rocco, maybe I'll throw this over to you here. This question was whether or not we feel that these in-season events, the in-season tournaments, and all the travel that they have may have an impact on some of these teams later on in the season, having had to do that much traveling early on in the year.
I guess it depends because some teams will play more games after their event. Like I know one of the teams in the Charleston event, for example, they're going to stay and play another road game. So basically go in there for four games. And there's a lot of little examples like that, but then there's others that will take a week off before the event, a week, almost a week off after, or they'll schedule a non-D1 or a 300 plus type of team, like a very low Q4. So I think most of the teams that are probably in that large picture at the end of the year aren't going to kill themselves scheduling unless they absolutely have to. Like, I think Kent State is one of the teams I'm thinking of. But anyway, they're one of the teams that killed themselves, so did Towson. But I feel like they know that that's their only chance. So for the masses, like these top 10 leagues that we cover on Monday nights, I don't think it really applies to them too much.
There's also a team.
I
Go
was
ahead.
going to say, I don't think it really matters at all. If I understand the context of his question, is he asking, does this wear teams out
Yeah,
later in the
basically.
year? No. I think what wears you out isn't traveling a long way to play three or four games in one place. It's actually traveling to three or four different places to play three or four games. So to answer your question, I absolutely not long term.
I
We'll get
agree.
into this later, but I'm just going to say for Colorado, they've done something really good. They've done something really bad on their road trip so far, and they still have a tournament in South Carolina to go, I believe.
Yeah, we'll get to Pac-12 here in a little bit. Or maybe we'll begin to the SWAC here in a little bit, one of the two. But let's start things out here. It is a little after 9 p.m. here on Monday the 14th, and we're going to go ahead.
Busy
And
night.
it's been a busy night. We're going to go ahead and pull up some standings here and pull up some scores and everything here. We're going to start tonight in the Big East Conference, where the Gavitt games have just starting this evening, and we saw the first game go final just a few minutes before we started. In fact, with DePaul coming up with the road win at Minnesota to beat out on top of the conference. There they are, the DePaul Blue Demons. Griggs, your pick to win the Big East this year, correct?
Oh yeah. Well, my pick to no. Well, if by win you mean come in last, yeah. My prediction of DePaul, they're right on the pace we all thought they'd be on. We think they're going to be 10-11-1 going in the conference play, perhaps even in the rankings. We've seen that before, and then they will proceed to lose 17 out of 20 conference games.
The other big story in this conference, though, Rago, has been Villanova, or the lack thereof of Villanova, losing to a Temple team that was just off a loss to a Northeast Conference team in Wagner, and then looking like absolute garbage tonight against the worst team in D1 last season, the last place picked team in the MEAC for this season, Delaware State tonight. They were losing most of that game. It was awful.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge surprise. And I mean, I think I told you on the email, Delaware State lost their opener to Virginia Tech by nearly 40. So it's not like they're this sneaky team that all of a sudden got good. So Villanova, like we talked about in the Big East preview show, they don't have Justin Moore. They don't have Cam Whitmore. Obviously, they're still Villanova. They should be fine with any other five guys in this game. But I think they've just got to, even though they won extremely ugly today, that's what they got to continue to do. You know, they maybe got to just find a way to win a game or two in the Phil Knight. But this is a team they have to focus on the long term and in conference play. I think they are going to have some hiccups in the non-league. And I think some of us picked them to lose to Temple before the week started last week. So can't consider that a huge surprise. It just seemed more surprising because Temple lost to Wagner, which we'll talk about later. But yeah.
Well, the number of the night for Villanova, they were 0 for 16 from behind the arc in the first half. That number obviously got a lot better in the second half, but even then, they never really pulled away until the final 3 minutes.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it got better, which means had they gone 1 for 16 in the second half, it would have gotten better. It was kind of hard to get worse than that. But Chad, I loved your assessment. I don't know if we could get it up there, but you had a great tweet as far as it was a mathematical equation showing that
Oh,
Butler would, yeah, that was.
it was oh, the old the Villanova.
Yeah.
Sorry, Temple beat Villanova, who had beaten Wagner, who had beaten no, who had beaten LaSalle, who had beaten Wagner, who had beaten Temple, who
Yeah.
had beaten
It's
it's
just
just a
endless
complete
circular
it'll
logic.
be that endless circular this early in the season too.
Yeah.
But
That's great.
here's the upcoming schedule, including as we're recording this now, the second of the Gavitt games is going on right now with Butler at Penn State. I know a game that everybody's going to be glued to,
I'm
but.
watching. Been a decent game so far.
The rest of the Gavitt games are up there, including that we got Northwestern Georgetown, Marquette Purdue, Stonehill Providence. That's part of that memo as well.
Yeah.
Iowa Seton Hall coming up on Wednesday. Stilicho, your thoughts about the rest of the Gavitt games here?
Well, the two notable ones, they save the best for last. Indiana comes to CentOS, and we'll see whether or not the Hoosiers are going to be looking like a team that's
That's gonna be a
did that.
blowout from what we saw so far.
Yeah. Oh, well,
And
enjoy
then
that
there's,
one, John.
I was going to say, if you're talking about Villanova, Michigan State, that too could end up being a blowout.
Yeah, we'll get to Michigan State in a second. What about this Iowa Seton Hall game? I was a team that I think we thought some of us would it or some of us did would end up inside the bubble. Seton Hall, probably not a tournament team, but whenever you go on the road against anybody, to me, if Iowa wins that game, even though Seton Hall is probably very NIT-ish, at least that's what we think they're going to be. That's a really nice win for Iowa.
Yeah, and I'll just say that's just such a clash of styles because with Shaheen Holloway bringing in Casey Andefo and a fully defensive-minded Seton Hall team, Iowa's
Yeah.
built to offensively destroy you. It's a battle of a great offense against a potentially great defense later this year. I think that's where Seton Hall's got the most upside is if they can be one of the top defenses in the country. That could be good enough to get them in. But yeah, this will be a great test playing one of the best offenses out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few other games of note here that we're looking at in their event here. Providence has a game against Miami. Two teams that have not looked that great so far this season on the court, at least. And of course, coming all the way up next Monday, you got the Creighton Texas Tech matchup to circle as well. So
And
there are.
God, that's a
In
great
Maui.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's out in Maui.
Yeah.
So
That's the start of the Maui down there at the bottom
Yeah.
already. Marquette, Mississippi State. When we get to next Monday, there's gonna be a lot of those major events beginning. Let's jump over. I guess let's jump over to the other half of the Gavitt games here. Next, let's jump over to the Big Ten, which currently trails the Big East by a score of 1-0 in this
Yeah.
event. But the other very notable game, John, the Gonzaga Michigan State game on the aircraft carrier on Friday night was a heck of a game.
Yeah, at least during the daylight hours, Michigan State seemed to be hanging around and actually led Gonzaga for most of the way. But with the second half coming around, the sunset went down, so at least you had more of a conventional shooting background.
This was
And then
just, yeah, the first half was in the daylight, the second half was at night, and it was on a boat.
But what's kind of crazy here too, Rocco, though, was Michigan State was shooting kind of into the sun before the sun had set, yet they were
Yeah.
leading shooting into the sun. I can't figure that out.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. I think for Gonzaga to sign up for this game, besides all the publicity they got, obviously that's the motivation for their style of play. It was probably one of the dumbest decisions they could have made, because that's one of the only times you've ever seen Gonzaga score in the 60s. Go back and look at the last like 5 years of Gonzaga games. They never scored in the 60s, and they barely even hit 60 in this game. Because they're predicated on hitting threes, running and gunning, getting easy layups. They weren't getting any of that stuff on the aircraft carrier. They just kind of almost beat themselves by picking a chance to play outdoors and throw everything off.
Yeah, the outdoors part is just that's what gets me. But I will say this for Gonzaga: they don't duck anybody for any reason. They don't duck style. They don't duck location. They're not one of these teams that likes to ease into their season and has this long list of teams that they don't want to play for various reasons. I don't think, and I mean this, you know, admirably, not condescendingly, they're not afraid to lose. And I think that, like, had they lost the game, Mark Few would have just been like, well, all right, we lost.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But when you have to play the West Coast Conference as your regular season schedule, at least until they go to the Big 12, I think you really got to schedule like that non-conference a lot more than you're not going to have those chances in conference that other teams have.
Yeah. And they I know we're on the Big Ten, but like they finally added like a Kent State and a Montana, where they're actually, even their home games, they got a couple that are pretty decent teams.
Yeah.
I guess the other game really of note there was the Wisconsin-Stanford game taking place inside the baseball stadium there in Milwaukee. Rocco, Wisconsin looked pretty good, actually, pulled away from Stanford in that game.
Yeah, and I'm liking this Wisconsin team. It just feels like we're watching the same movie again. Nobody had much expectation preseason.
I did.
I thought their blowout over South Dakota was impressive. South Dakota's a pretty good team.
They're real good, yeah.
Yeah, and they handled them with ease. Tyler Wall is a I thought Chucky Hepburn would end up being kind of the next Johnny Davis, but I think Tyler Wall might be their best player, best athlete. He's got some crazy leaping ability, great rebounder, just really good glue guy. He kind of does it all for them, and they've got pretty good depth. So I think I'm higher on Wisconsin than most people.
I would like to make one more observation before we move on, Chad, if we could go back to the scores. I know you went ahead, but I would just like to point out that every single win by this conference so far has been a home bye game.
Not the Wisconsin-Stanford game. That was considered a neutral court game.
Well, I guess that was neutral. That probably is the but, yeah.
Michigan played in Detroit against Eastern Michigan and almost lost.
Yeah, that was a neutral court game as well. Thank you.
To my point, they're a little bit lacking in week one.
Here's the upcoming schedule, and the big game to circle is tomorrow night's, aside from the Gavitt games, is Salika's tomorrow night's Michigan State-Kentucky game as part of the Champions Classic.
Yeah, that would be the more conventional opening night contest of late.
Yeah, and that should be a thriller, Griggs, as well as we'll get a look at Michigan this week in a pair of games, although they're playing Pitt and probably VCU. So I don't know that we're really going to learn a lot about them.
VCU's decent. Pitt is terrible. We'll get to how terrible they are when we get to the to the ACC, perhaps. But Illinois UCLA.
That was the other one I was going to, Rock, I was going to ask you about that game. I'm really circling that Illinois UCLA game for Friday here. I think that could be a fascinating game.
Yeah, I agree. The talent will be very, very high level between those two. I think, UCLA, they have no reason to not be in position to win that, just from an experience and gelling standpoint. Illinois is breaking in new pieces. I think that's the big edge here in November. But
that's they got even if they win that, though, 2 days later, they got to play Baylor or Virginia.
Yeah. It's an amazing four teams they brought in with a ton of talent, a ton of experience. Older player.
Let's jump over to let's go over to the ACC now, because Griggs, I know you've been dying to talk about what happened, what's been going on, and for the first time we're seeing a ton of red on the screen here for losses. And this is, I mean, is this the ACC being the same ACC we had last year, just looking absolutely awful?
Well, the bottom of it looks exceptionally awful. We'll get to the top, but let's start off at the bottom because it's so much more fun.
Where do I start? Florida State, Louisville, or Boston College? Yeah.
Well, I was going to start with Louisville. Including the two exhibition games, Louisville has played three teams that were either D2 this year or D2 3 years ago. You know, they played Lenoir Ryan and Chaminade, both of whom won 10 or fewer games as a D2 team. They played Bellarmine, who is transitioning, and they played Wright State, who is a full-blown D1. They won one of those. They won one of those barely against Chaminade.
This is not the Bellarmine team that they had last year that actually won the A7 Conference.
Right, yeah.
No, most of that team is gone.
Yeah, most of that team is gone. And, like, you know, it's just kind of a revamped roster. Louisville not off to a good start. I think they're going to go out to Maui, and they might just want to stay there.
And on top of that, Rocco, Florida State is not a team that I expected to struggle, but they lose at home to Stetson, then they lose to UCF, 0-2 now for the Noles.
Yeah, it's almost like a carryover of last year. It's the Stetson loss was a stunner for me.
Yes.
Stetson picked last in the league, didn't expect much from them. I didn't even expect that game to be close, and then they lost. So that was a stunner. And then tonight, there's clearly some holes going on in the lineup there because they've not been very efficient on a possession by possession basis. And Troy is leading Florida State as we speak here on a Monday night by 7 in the second half. So they could very well be 0-3 by the time people watch this show.
Wow, that's amazing. And
yeah, Slika, all three games at home against weak teams. Slika,
to leave you out of this year, Boston College loses a home bye game tonight to the Maine Black Bears. Maine's third win against a power conference team in the last 20 years. They've had two of them now against Boston College. They beat Penn State once as well. I mean,
I think the other upset was that this was the first time in only 7 years that BC had lost to another American East team. And this was UMass Lowell back in the 2015-16 season. Nice little fun fact you'd pick up on TV tonight. But even then, BC had barely survived against a Detroit Mercy in their last game.
A shout out to Chris Markwood, the head coach there at Maine. Yes. Coming off the BC staff and getting that huge win for the program.
Yeah, and for those that don't follow under the radar or watch under the radar, Maine is historically
bad.
One of the 20 or 30 worst programs like over the last 20 years, and maybe that's even being generous. I mean, they are continuously struggling to make the quarterfinals of the America East. That is not an exaggeration. And Stetson, while they've been okay every now and then, not that good either, usually. So it's not that they're losing at home to decent. They're losing at home to really, really bad under the radar teams.
I do want to throw a quick note out here before I switch the screens here. You can see all the standings and all the metrics. A lot of these metrics say one still. Those metrics are not available yet, like the net and the KPI and strength of schedule. The AP and coaches poll column on the far right there, you can see some differences in them tonight. That's because the AP numbers are the numbers that came out today. The coaches poll is still the preseason numbers. They won't have their first regular season poll till next week. Don't know why they don't do one after week one, but they don't. So you may see some disparity in some of the numbers there. Just ignore those coaches poll numbers. But here is the rest of the upcoming schedule. And Rocco, let's start with the Duke-Kansas game tomorrow night, the other half of the Champion Classic.
Yeah, I like what I've seen from Duke the first couple of games. You know, on the bright side of the ACC, I mean, they really took it to a pretty good Jacksonville team on opening night. And then their performance over the weekend looked really, really fascinating with our first look at Blake Lively. So this team is uber talented. And Bill Self, I believe, is still suspended. So I give Duke actually like a slight nod. I just think Kansas has got to figure a few new pieces out still, even though Duke does too. I just think Duke's already clicking a little bit better.
All right. Stalika, you want to discuss App State at Louisville?
I just want to see if this is the game where Louisville finally comes off the schneid, or are we going to have a hot, hot, hot mess?
Appy State.
Yeah, I mean, there are not too many other great games that we haven't mentioned already here. You know, Syracuse hosting Colgate as, again, Jim Boeheim refuses to leave the state of New York during the early season.
I like that game. That is a Livewire Colgate team.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
And the Friday game, the Friday game for Virginia Tech will be, I'm assuming they get past Old Dominion in their first round game, but either Furman or Penn State will be really interesting against VTech.
Yeah, yeah, that is well worth circling there. Absolutely. You got Florida State coming up this weekend again, but that as well. But
they're both coming off a loss.
Yeah,
possibly.
BC has got their event coming up. They got to play George Mason at either Belmont or Tarleton. They're in a lot of trouble, like they did tonight. Let's jump over. Let's stick with that Duke Kansas game. Let's jump over to the other half of it. Jump over to the Big 12 Conference, which does have a couple of losses already in the league, including you see the Oklahoma State's loss to Southern Illinois up there, and Oklahoma lost an opening night to fill me in here. Sam Houston, yes, thank you. Yeah. So two losses already in the conference, and it could have been more. Rocco, with the Arkansas Pine Bluff Golden Lions, not even picked very high in the SWAC this year.
As in almost last?
Almost pulled off against both TCU and Oklahoma.
Yeah, no, that was kind of cool to witness, because on opening night, I was actually covering the St. Mary's Oral Roberts game, and I got to talk to the Oral Roberts staff before. And so Pine Bluff's coach came from Oral Roberts before last year. So they were all asking me for the score of the TCU game, because they saw that Pine Bluff had the lead in the beginning. So it was pretty fun to watch. They told me a little bit about their team. They basically run the same system as Oral Roberts. And so they're finally getting some pieces in place. We'll see how they do in the SWAC. I mean, the SWAC's got a ton of storylines. I feel like this is turning into an under the radar show, but
we're going to talk more SWAC still in a few minutes. So.
Well, yeah, the reason for that is a lot of the big games that involve these teams involve them losing.
So. Exactly. And well, in TCU's case, I can't believe they struggled with Lamar. I mean, Lamar has absolutely nothing in the cupboard, and so I don't get what's going on at TCU. That's kind of strange. They're struggling again tonight against Northwestern State. So it's a head scratcher out there. But I imagine they'll figure it out. Usually Jamie Dixon teams get better later in the season.
Yeah, Texas Tech is in a bit of a battle with Louisiana Tech as we record this as well tonight. Look at the, I guess we'll do some good news though out of the Big 12 here, Stalika. K-State with a road win at Cal, West Virginia with a road win at Pitt.
Yeah, that was pretty one-sided in the backyard brawl here. I mean, at one point it was competitive, but my goodness, what happened to Pitt?
Well, it starts out 0-0, so yes, it was competitive at that point, I think.
Yeah. And then again, Oklahoma State has also been kind of the best at times, the worst at times. They lose at home against Barry Hinson's old team in Southern Illinois, but after that they go to the blacktop at Oakland and actually get a nice win there.
Yeah, you know, just a lot of schizophrenia this early in the season, particularly for, well, we'll get to them later.
Let's go
for a second. I thought Colorado was still in this league.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule, and the key game that we have not discussed yet that's on the schedule here is Rocco, Wednesday night, Gonzaga at Texas.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga's in a lot of trouble. This kind of sets up really nicely for Texas, as Gonzaga got exposed a little bit on the aircraft carrier. Plus, I just think after that game, it might take them most of the first half to readjust to basketball indoors at full speed against another team. And Texas has just been absolutely destroying, you know, the two bye games they had. I think they won one of the games by 60 plus. So Texas looks incredibly loaded. I think they're number two in KenPom right now. So yeah, this is a real tough spot for Gonzaga. We'll see how they respond.
Yeah. And another thing, Rocco, and I know we're not supposed to talk about this. This is a team that just blew Arkansas to the moon in that charity.
Yeah, in the scrimmage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charity exhibition, actually. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, however much you want to put in those or not put in those, I don't really put much weight in those games, but right. Other people do. So,
yeah, I'm just saying, if Texas gets up by 20 in the first half, it's going to be hard for Gonzaga to come back.
We may need to circle this Oklahoma State UCF game here suddenly on Friday as well. UCF coming off of a win here, and Oklahoma State having struggled a little bit. So, who knows?
I'm excited for that tournament, because there's a little bit to like about all four teams. Santa Clara's. They're playing Utah State right now. DePaul just got a big win. It's kind of wide open for any of the four to win it.
Let's jump over to the SEC. Stalika, let me start with you, where we've got a few losses here too, including tonight. Florida at home Struggles with Florida Atlantic most of the way, starts to pull away. Then Florida Atlantic went on some ridiculous run late and barely held on after a technical foul at the last minute to win the game.
Yeah, so much for the SEC looking to potentially pull away from other conferences right here. That's not what happened here against a team that's, albeit going to be in the American next year, is still in the dregs of Conference USA this year. And let's not even get into a team like Tennessee, where they managed to blow a lead early and end up losing by double digits against Colorado out in Nashville.
Yeah. Griggs, that Colorado-Tennessee game, it was, a 12-point win for Colorado. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really was. And this followed a game that was extremely not impressive. Yeah. But we'll get to Colorado here in a little bit. And you just kind of wonder what happened. Tennessee just – not to take anything away from Colorado. They played a great game, but not the Tennessee that we had seen.
Yeah, Rocco, do we have an explanation for what happened with Tennessee here?
That's a funny – yeah, it's a weird one. Obviously, we'll talk about the Pac-12 soon, but Colorado had a stunning loss to Grambling going into a SWAC gym for the first time where they were not ready for that game. And I think, you kind of overcorrect.
You can't blame it on the hostile crowd.
No, you can't. I think there was like 50 people there.
Yeah, we'll get to that. It was ridiculous, yes.
But after a loss like that, obviously Colorado was very focused and on the road and not distracted and got really, really locked in for that Tennessee game and just really played, I think, their peak game they possibly could. But well, still,
they were locked in for that Tennessee game at the start of the Grambling game is the problem.
Yeah. I can't explain it in any other way than that. Obviously, Tennessee probably overlooked them after what they saw them do against Grambling.
Yeah, that could be a part of it. It was in Nashville, but it was still like that. That's a pathetic excuse. Like
it really is.
Yeah,
I'll tell you the other team that kind of the two other games that impressed me here. They're going a little bit back here to Friday. Alabama taking care of Liberty fairly easily.
Yes,
a pretty good Liberty team. And Mississippi State, their win over Akron also fairly easily. Yes.
I'm glad you brought that up because I really think this is a really good Akron team. I wasn't big on Mississippi State at all. They arguably have one of the better wins to date out of the conference. Go ahead, Rocco. I'll cut you off.
No, I agree. And I was not expecting it to happen that early in the year. Akron opened the year with the South Dakota State 1-point win. So obviously they're very competitive. And Mississippi State, I like the team they built. Chris Jans can really, really coach, as we all know. But for them to just blast them like that was super impressive. They've got some real nice pieces there.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here in the SEC. Again, we've discussed some of these games already, including the big Kentucky-Michigan State game coming up. Alabama, an interesting road trip to South Alabama.
They should crush them. It'll be – they're going to South Alabama. It'll be about 50-50. You think it will be?
Well,
we'll
see. I mean, they're excited about it down there, but obviously the Tide fans will buy a bunch of tickets. Mm-hmm.
A couple other games to circle here, though, Stalika. Florida Gulf Coast, who won at USC, is at Tennessee now. Tennessee coming off of the Colorado loss. And also kind of looking forward to what Texas A&M does, especially potentially against Colorado on Friday.
And then there's also the Murray State game as well. It's going to be Thursday for A&M.
Yeah, Murray doesn't have much this year.
Oof. Of course, another team I'm looking at where I'm kind of surprised they're 0-2 initially. You look at a team like Vanderbilt, they could easily be 0-4 if they don't right the ship here pretty soon.
Yeah. How about this South Dakota State going into Arkansas? I think Arkansas is going to be firing on all cylinders somewhere around Christmas or later, but right now they're only firing on a couple of cylinders. Is that an upset alert?
Well, isn't this the crazy thing where South Dakota State's playing back-to-back days? Don't they play tomorrow?
Yeah, I think
that's what gives me hesitation. I think it's going to be too much for them to win it on the second of two back-to-back days, which crazy scheduling by South Dakota State.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check on the South Otherwise, Dakota State schedule. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're hosting St. Bonaventure at home tomorrow, and then they go to Arkansas the very next day.
Yes, you're correct.
So I would be willing to pick it. They already won at Boise. But Arkansas is just too talented. You need all your energy for that.
All right. Of course, Sunday also, Griggs, Kentucky-Gonzaga. We've been talking tons of Gonzaga. We haven't even got to the West Coast Conference yet.
Yeah.
But here they are again.
And that's Spokane. Yeah, that game in Spokane, not on campus, but in Spokane. I don't know. A big deal was made of that because of how Gonzaga listed it as a neutral site game and Kentucky listed it as a road game. And people were mad that Gonzaga was claiming that it was a true neutral game. In reality, all they were doing was they didn't want their season ticket holders calling and saying, is this a home game? That's why. But that one, the storyline behind that, it's just an early showcase game. I think both teams are going to end up as protected seeds, regardless of who wins or loses. And it's just a chance to really, are you a protected seed or are you potentially a one? That's right. What's at stake in that game.
And if I just want to correct some very, very mild correction about home games or not home games, South Dakota State's game against St. Bonaventure is actually at the Sanford Pentagon. So it's not technically a home game, but it is in South Dakota. Right. And then they're traveling the very next day to Arkansas. So
they'll be closer to the airport that way.
Yeah,
there we go. The
Let's go to the Pac-12. Let's do it. Let's talk about it. And there we go. The Pac-12 SWAC Legacy Challenge starting this year. Six games this year. At SWAC schools. And the SWAC 2-0 at home heading into tomorrow night's finale of the series for the year. Both Ramblings win over Colorado and then followed up by Texas Southern's win over Arizona State, Griggs.
Well, I'm always the one that's harping, probably to the annoyance of all of you, how hard it is to win on the road. But even I was stunned at the two games that the SWAC won. I just can't explain it. And then the Grambling game that we talked about, while it was at Grambling, you'd think this would be a big showcase, a big brand name coming to the campus for maybe the first time ever. And the attendant, I started counting. I'm not even sure there were 100 people in the arena, and they missed what was really a fantastic win for their school. But how about the week Colorado had in a 48-hour period or less? They lose to Grambling and then go to Nashville and beat a top 10 team in Tennessee.
And Rocco, though, there is a lot of red on this screen here, including a couple other stunners. Oregon, home loss to UC Irvine, and Washington State, you know, losing by 10 to Boise. I get that that game was in Idaho, but it's about 3 minutes from Wazoo, right?
Well, University of Idaho is Boise State's a couple hours. But yeah, I mean, obviously you can understand it a little bit playing on the road. Or mostly on the road in that game. And then
there was the neutral court building, technically.
Nampler or something. But the UC Irvine thing, I think, they're obviously well coached, great program.
Very good.
So you never can overlook UC Irvine ever. But Oregon, just going back to last year, I won't comment on specifics, but there's definitely some locker room issues there. They're trying to get worked out, and there's a couple injuries. It's an interesting time there. They've got a lot of big games coming up in the Phil Knight tournament and others. And I'm not sure if they play like that. I mean, they're not coming anywhere close to the tournament this year. So they've got to get it figured out very quickly here.
Yeah, Rocco, they were down. I know the final score was they were down by 25 with about 10 minutes to go in the game. Yeah. I mean, Irvine was blowing them out of the – they were just blew their doors off like you wouldn't believe. And they've got – I don't know what kinds of issues they have, but they have issues.
Yes. It's
stunning.
There's a lot of behind the scenes drama happening, and we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how they navigate the ship. I mean, they do have Dana Altman, who's one of the all time greats. So,
yeah,
at least they have that going for them.
Yeah. Oregon shockingly falling out of the rankings this week.
As you can see, that's the big difference there. Again, the AP versus coaches numbers. Look at the AP number this week, at least.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. They're playing Houston this Saturday. Good luck with that.
The upcoming schedule. Yeah. Yes. Salika, let me ask you about this. Well, I mean, there's a lot of interesting games on here, though. What are you looking at? Is it Bushnell, Oregon State?
I'm looking at Oregon State hosting a camera right here.
Bushnell. we do have some very interesting games, including, I guess we look at the Colorado, what Colorado's doing in their event, and the UCLA-Illinois game, and obviously the UCLA-Baylor or Virginia game, Houston-Oregon, Arizona-Cincinnati.
Well, Arizona's in the Maui, so maybe we'll talk about that for a second with San Diego State, Creighton, Arkansas, a lot of big Texas Tech, a lot of big names. So if Arizona is truly a one-seed contender like they were last year, I think they got to go win that Maui tournament somehow, and there'll be really some really fascinating matchups. Cincinnati themselves have been a little bit promising this year so far, too. So it won't be a cakewalk in the first round.
A few of those games going on tonight as well, haven't even started as the time we're recording this. But we spent a lot of time talking about the Zags already. Let's actually look at the West Coast Conference, where they're actually down at fifth place there. You know, they kind of suck, right? We mentioned Gonzaga's win over Michigan State. Griggs, Rocco, let me ask you about the St. Mary's team here, because I thought they were very impressive in their wins this week. Very impressive.
Yeah, I had the first one, the Oral Roberts one, which they were up 20 plus in the first half, then coasted. I think they only won by 10, but it was never really a game. Obviously crushed Vermont and absolutely destroyed North Texas. And
these are three quality under the radar programs, though.
In the North Texas game, they didn't have Tyler Perry, which obviously they weren't going to win without him, but just to hold them to 33 points is crazy. But I think a lot of people nationally don't realize how big of a home court advantage St. Mary's had. Or it has in general. They went undefeated at home last year. They've got a crazy long home winning streak building now, going back to the year before's Gonzaga loss. So it's very, very difficult for anybody to come into that gym that seats about 5,000 or so, and it's always sold out. It's just they're so well supported. And I think teams, they're really good at finding these teams from other parts of the country to come visit, thinking they have a chance. And then I think they're blown away kind of in the beginning on how big of an advantage they have. And they're just really, really solid. You know, they don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. In addition to just the environment there, which is tense, they're really good.
Yes.
It's a good
place to watch a game too.
Yeah.
The other notable game, I guess, of this conference was BYU, who's a team that some people looked at as a tournament team or right a bubble type team heading into the season. Blew a chance to pick up a huge win sleek at San Diego State.
Well, that's a one opportunity missed right there. But when we get into the Mountain West later, that's not even the most egregious loss.
Okay. Yeah. Let me stick with you. The upcoming schedule. I know you're going to be hoping to this Vanguard Pepperdine game, but in all seriousness, here, a little other than Gonzaga, I think we've got a fairly easy week for this conference this week.
Well, I'm also going to be looking at San Francisco going to Fresno State here. Obviously, you don't want to leave anything to chance right there. And that's going to be a warm-up game for the Dons before they go to Kansas City for the Hall of Fame Classic, starting out with a neutral court game against Northern Iowa.
Yeah. And I'll be covering that game in Fresno on Wednesday. Looking forward to it. And it's a huge week for Santa Clara. They're playing Utah State tonight. They've got the 4-team tournament, which I said earlier, any of the four could win it. Santa Clara looks great coming out of the gates with Brandon Podziminski, who's the first Bronco in 9 years to start with two 30-point games to open his Bronco career. Very, very exciting player, transfer from Illinois. We'll see how they do tonight.
I got one for you, Chad. Supersonics or Trailblazers on Saturday?
I actually do want to throw in there that the Portland-Kent State game has gone final since we started recording, and Kent State did beat Portland. So Portland is out of the ranks of the undefeated there. Portland team that I liked heading into the season. That would have been a real nice road win for them, but it's tough having to go cross-country for that. Let's go ahead and jump over to – Let's go to the American here and talk about the team that is still sitting there at number 3 in the nation. But Grays, Houston's looked pretty good so far, even though they haven't played much.
Oh yeah,
in terms of their opponents,
and they've played some decent under the radar. I mean, well, St. Joe's isn't decent. Northern Colorado, a team we were kind of big on. Oral Roberts, a pretty good team, and it's not that you would expect a team like Oral Roberts or Northern Colorado to beat a top 25 team, but Houston has blown them out the way a team that's ranked where they are should, and maybe even more so. It's been hard to not be impressed with them, even though that they're not playing highly ranked teams. They are completely boat racing some pretty decent under the radar teams.
And this is a conference, Rocco, that I'm just trying to figure out here. You got Temple here. You see their win over Villanova, but they lost the game to Wagner. You got South Florida, was very competitive in their loss against Auburn, but they lose tonight at home to Stetson. And then throw in another SWAC loss. Yeah, let's talk a little SWAC. Alcorn State wins at Wichita.
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer to the question is in, well, about half the league has got 100 plus, or some of them are two, like East Carolina and South Florida have really, really bad offenses. If you look at that adjusted offensive category, these teams are trying to build their teams to match up and somehow compete with Houston's physicality. And I think it's made a lot of the teams defensive focused. Now, I do think Memphis has a lot of older talent. I'm curious on how that plays out because we've only known Penny Hardaway to have younger players. So this is a really good chance for them to use that age and experience and mature. Beyond that, Cincinnati and Tulane have great upside. Okay. UCF's got an unbelievable freshman in Taylor Hendricks that I'm really high on. He had another great game tonight. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to like. SMU took Dayton to the wire. They lost by 12, but I think that was like a 12-0 run to end the game. So SMU and Dayton were tied with just a couple minutes to go. So
yeah, it was close. It felt like Dayton led for most of the way, but like SMU was right in there with a few minutes to go, but then Dayton finally just got control of it. But yeah, not a bad showing. Dayton not at full strength, but it is hard to win at Dayton.
It is.
Yeah, we'll get to them in a second.
There's a couple of real interesting games out here, beginning with tomorrow night, Memphis at St. Louis. That's a huge game for both teams, really.
No, for Memphis, more so, probably because they could use a bit of a decent road win. Also, an interesting game on Wednesday night where Cincinnati actually crosses the Ohio River to Northern Kentucky. I think this was one of the games they owed NKU since they actually played at their arena while they were doing renovations to Fifth Third Arena a few years ago.
Yeah, also got to circle the Houston-Oregon game on Sunday. We mentioned that, I believe, earlier.
Are you sure about that?
Possibly circle it. A couple more conferences. Let's quickly hit the Mountain West here, Griggs. We've talked a little bit about San Diego State, now 2-0, ranked number 17 in the nation.
Yes. And let's start at the very top. San Jose State 2-0 on their way to probably a protected seed. It's just out there. But the biggest news, I think, is what they failed to do. One of the more stupefying losses to me was Wyoming going down to Sela. Did we even like them in the Southland? I think we like Corpus Christi. What happened? What in the hell happened up there a mile above Denver?
Well, you know, it's tough to play at elevation, so.
Apparently for Wyoming it is.
I don't have an answer for that game. I thought this Wyoming team would be good this year too, and I have no answer for that game. Colorado State took care of South Carolina, Louisiana by 11 points on Friday night. That's the kind of something I'm focusing on. Colorado State is the second best team now.
Dorman last week made a good point about how you don't want to read too much into some of these early November games. Teams are still gelling. They haven't really hit their stride yet. But this Wyoming team is a little different because they returned so much from last year. They're basically the same team. They're not getting used to each other. And for them to just barf like that at home, this is a team that, like, I would have voted into my preseason top 25 and did, for what it's worth. I am more, and there's been a lot of shocking things that happened, but that one in particular was shocking.
That's more than a barf, because Wyoming's not going to have a whole lot of chances out of conference. So there was no margin for error for the Cowboys in games like that.
Man.
Yeah, I would just say, just to talk about another team for a minute, this Utah State team is off to an awesome start. They've had all three games at home, and obviously they have a great home court advantage as well. But blowing out all three, Utah Valley, Bradley, right now they're beating Santa Clara by 14. So if they hold on to that and win that by double digits, they're making a really big statement. And they'll head to San Diego next. They actually have a pretty manageable schedule until they play San Francisco at the NBA arena in a few weeks. So watch out for the Aggies. I think they're much improved and a year older than last year when they were just figuring things out.
Yeah, I wasn't quite with you, but I might be coming around on this Utah State team, Rocco. But here's the upcoming schedule besides the games that are going on tonight. I think we've discussed most of these. Colorado State has South Carolina and then either Davidson or Charleston. Charleston team that you're still in the game if you're down 30 or 40 points against them. You're going to come back and win it, I think. Wyoming's got a big test with Howard coming up on Friday. I don't know how they're going to do there. I guess we can look all the way forward to Monday with San Diego State and Ohio State in the event as well. But let's quickly jump over to the A-10, the last of our conferences for this evening. And Sleeka, let me start with you. What have you seen? I guess it's Dayton and not much else. Or is there something other team beyond Dayton that you've really seen that you like so far?
I know I had hinted at Loyola, but then again, this was a team that sleepwalked through FDU and Illinois Chicago, so they've got a little bit of reloading to do right here. Davidson, well, we've discussed them and under the radar where they came from. I think it was 21 points down and ended up winning it overtime at Wright State. So is a bit of a character builder. By the same token, they also struggle at home against VMI.
Yeah, a team that is not going to land inside the bubble, but that has actually looked far better than the spectacular team I was expecting. Duquesne winning decisively over Montana, and I don't want to get carried away, but the fact that Duquesne would win decisively over anyone is a bit of a surprise.
Well, their loss was just Kentucky. It was, you know, very
At Kentucky, and it was decisive, but could it be that this Duquesne team is better than what we thought and might be able to finish toward the middle of this league? Does Dan Brott finally have them going in the right direction?
They picked up another win today over South Carolina State.
Yeah, which is not but yeah, this is who I think we all thought was going to finish last, and they're not last.
Well, fair enough. I guess, you know, we also got the St. Louis team out off to a good start, but kind of on the other side of things here, UMass, Rocco, I thought, you know, with Frank Martin coming in, that they might be a little bit of life here, but they showed absolutely none against Towson.
Towson's a good team, though. Like, okay. Some of that credit should go to Towson, just taking them out of what they wanted to do. But yeah, I think I wasn't as high on UMass just because it's a lot of the same guys from South Carolina last year that did lose a lot of games. And I don't know. I just think it's going to take Frank a little while to get everything rolling there. And Towson's ready to win immediately. So, but I do like what I saw tonight from George Washington. They only lost by 5 to Hofstra. That's a Hofstra team that just won at Iona.
At Hofstra.
Yeah, it was a Hofstra team that had an amazing week last week. For George Washington, their new head coach, Chris Caputo, I think they're already showing pretty good signs that they are going to be a much better team this year than they've been what we've seen in the last few years.
Okay. Here's the upcoming schedule. Dayton with an interesting test, Sleeka, tomorrow night at UNLV, among other games here.
Yeah.
That's going to be road trips for the Flyers right here. Also looking at a team like Rhode Island, who's surprisingly off to an 0-2 start under Archie Miller. You'd think they'd turn things around against Stony Brook. I'm not going to take that for granted.
I always like the Spiders. They're 2-0, but they're 2-0 against, blah teams. This is a tough road game, and I don't mean that disparagingly. College of Charleston, probably it's tough to go there and win. And in Chapel Hill, for about 35 minutes, they were right with North Carolina.
That game was played tonight, Griggs. Charleston won 92-90 in overtime.
I didn't know what time we were recording.
Not on the screen yet. It came went final after we started, but that game is final. I'd circle more this Thursday, Davidson College of Charleston. Is that a little old colonial action there?
It is.
It's the start of the Charleston Classic as well. Right. Quarterfinal game. But I'll say this,
you're welcome for the lead in there, Chad.
It's an important week of opportunity for VCU if they can get by ASU, and I'm assuming they'll play Michigan in the championship. That's a Michigan team that I think VCU might be able to knock off in a game like that. So if they get a win like a Michigan, that will age really well later for their possible bubble scenario that I think most of us either had VCU last four in or first four out. So kind of already looking ahead to that.
Right. And you want to look at St. Louis's week as well. We mentioned the game against Memphis. They've also got game against Maryland coming up on Saturday. Those are going to be a big week for SLU.
And then they'll play Providence or Miami the second day.
Well, that completes all the teams we're going to go over this tonight. Let's go ahead and pull this on down here. And I guess on that note, let's see. We don't do top tens on this show. So we just run over to final thoughts, I think, here. Stalika, any other final thoughts on the evening?
I think it's a shame that the Gavitt games are going to be ending within the next year or two. So the way things are shaping up, looks like the team with the longest winning streak, the DePaul Blue Demons. I mean, if you look at their past four games, they've had a win against Penn State, a win at Iowa, a win against Rutgers. And thanks to tonight with their win in Minnesota, that's four straight wins in that series and the first of four period. Although the way things are shaping up, if Xavier gets the win, they would be 4-1 and still have the best winning percentage in this series right here.
Okay.
All over against Indiana.
Rocco.
Yeah, I'll go back to the future conference, the Big East. I've been impressed mostly. I know we spent a lot of time talking about Villanova earlier, but I think there's a lot of teams in the Big East that have upside that didn't have like the highest expectations. We mentioned Seton Hall, but I also think Marquette could be a little bit like last year. Last year, nobody really thought they were a tournament team coming in. Shaka Smart's first year. I thought they played pretty well the first couple times out. We'll learn a lot about them this week. St. John's is taking care of business early on, so we'll see what St. John's has to offer. And obviously, DePaul, you got to take them seriously until somebody beats them. So far, looking great. And then, of course, you know, Providence still 2-0. And I think UConn is being slept on nationally. They've absolutely blitzed their first two opponents, Boston University and Stonehill Stoners, two teams that actually beat other D1 teams in their other games. So it's not like they were slouches. So I think UConn might still be my favorite in this league.
Griggs.
One of my first final thought is that we've seen too many games across the board against non-D1 teams. You had commented on that earlier. I just want to echo that agreement. The other thing is there's always surprises. There's always surprises the first week. There's always surprises the first night. One of the more general surprises that's even outside the normal parameters of what is surprising is the teams that were good last year that we thought we would be good this year because of all of the talent that they have returned that have struggled. We mentioned Wyoming being one of those teams earlier. Another one, TCU. The Pine Bluff game really made you sit up and take notice, but it's like, oh, okay, they figured that one out. They barely won the other night. And at the time we're recording this, they're 6 seconds away from losing to Northwestern State. Just really unimpressive. North Carolina's won their games, but College of Charleston had a lead for a large portion of the second half. And this is not a team, a CFC team that we thought would be Towson or one of the better teams in the Colonial. And it's just sort of like, this is the time of year where you think that that experience is going to give you a big advantage. And for a lot of teams that we thought would have that advantage, they have not shown it.
Yeah, and just some updates here. You know, obviously, as you're watching the show, these games will all be final, but we mentioned Florida State struggling. They are still struggling with Troy late in the game. TCU is going to have a final possession here in a few moments with the shot to win, but otherwise, if they can't score, they're going to lose Northwestern State at home.
Massive upset. Villanova! They lost a lot.
And meanwhile, Penn State is up 8 on Butler in the Gavitt game. Yeah. Yeah. But on behalf of John Stalika, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back Wednesday night with Under the Radar, season premiere of that. And next week, another Hoops HD report. Talk to you again real soon.